And as you proceed there, take note, this is the second song that John heard. The writer, he had heard an earlier song in chapter 4. The first one had to do with a song of praise that he heard to God, the creator of all things. He heard that this one who created all things was worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for he had created all things. Chapter 4. The song in chapter 5 has to do with the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus, the Savior. This is a song about salvation. It celebrates the community that that Lamb of God brought into being through his sacrifice and through his death. It's a great salvation song. I read from Revelation chapter 5. John saying, I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll? But no one in heaven and on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll and look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. See the lion, the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures, the elders. He had seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priest to serve our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Dear friends, three thoughts this morning as we focus in on that song for just a few moments. Three thoughts about the community that the Lamb brought into existence. Note the basis of that community. How people get in. Secondly, it's borders. Who is in that community? And thirdly, the blessings of being a part of that community, brought into existence by the Lamb of God. We read Revelation 5 there of a scroll that was sealed. John had been promised in chapter 4 that he would see all things that were to come. But those things, those eternal plans and purposes of God, they're locked inside of that scroll. And John grieves because there was no one seemingly able to open that scroll. No one. No angel, no saint in heaven, no saint on earth. And we read that John wept and wept. It means literally that he grieved in a loud way, greatly distraught and disturbed by that locked seal. But then comes the word, verse 5, stop weeping. Stop weeping. There is one worthy and able to open the scroll, the Lamb. He is the one who knows what is to be. He holds the future in his hands. And John then hears the song addressed to the Lamb. You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. Do you see there the basis for being a part of this new community? The new redeemed community? Oh, the basis is the grace of God, of course, yes. But it is, did you note, the blood of Jesus that brings salvation. Just like in the Old Testament, in Egypt, it was the blood of a lamb that saved the firstborn from the plague of death. So now for all sinful humanity, it is the blood of Jesus, the price He paid, that brings salvation and redemption, an eternal union with God in glory, the blood. Oh, we remember that this morning. Yet again, the blood price that was paid by Jesus, the sacrificial lamb. We remember that it is by the blood of the cross and only by the blood that we are pardoned, that we are redeemed, that we are a part of God's eternal community, His family. Our birth is not the basis of our salvation, not our birth. Our education, our knowledge, however great, however extensive, that does not qualify us. Our skin color, not overly important. Our human goodness, however we have practiced that in life, that's not going to be the criteria. No, it is the blood of Jesus shed for us. Nothing more than that, nothing less. The blood of Jesus is the basis on which God forms a new family. As I said, one that will be together for all eternity. Let's reflect a minute. Our blood relatives, our blood relatives, who are they really? Oh, we so easily identify those with people that we celebrate our birthdays and our anniversaries with. They're the people around the table for Sunday dinner. They're the people that we go here or there to enjoy a summer vacation with and other things. But really, our blood relatives are those who are saved by the blood of Jesus. Please recognize that on this World Communion Sunday. The true basis, may I say, for the communion of the saints, a community of people that may not share the same bloodline, the same ethnic or racial heritage, the same skin color. They may not speak the same language, but Jesus, by His blood, makes them one. And by His blood, these people experience a unity. May I say, they have more in common than do identical twins, those redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The song in Revelation 5 says that. The common testimony this morning of all of those who are in the presence of the Lord, Bob Blackwire now with them. I was a sinner. I was saved. I am here because of the blood of Jesus. I confess this Lamb of God as my sin bearer. And we will confess that this morning as we eat and as we drink. The basis for being a part of that new communion or community. Notice the borders of that new community as we recognize it in that song. The people purchased by Jesus, by His blood, they are, did you note the words? They are from every tribe and language and people and nation. God obviously likes diversity and variety in His people. He created them, everyone, differently, yes, but all peoples, all races. He loves them all equally, all those He created. He has no favorites. Oh, in the Old Testament, some might suggest that perhaps Israel was one of God's favorites, that the Jewish people were His favorites, indeed, in a sense, true. They were the people, the nation through which God brought forth His Messiah, that Lamb from God. But God's Messiah, we know, was a Messiah for all nations, all peoples. The death Jesus died was for sinners, for all sinners, all sinners. Peter came to understand that. An apostle, he didn't always recognize that, but in Acts chapter 10, he says, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but that he accepts men from every nation who fear him, who do what is right. Everyone who believes in Jesus receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And this morning I want to say that I am so grateful that the Christian Reformed Church, a church so dear to my heart, and I trust to yours as well, is becoming more and more, may I say, an all-nations church. Oh, indeed, we are yet mostly white, and I suspect we are mostly Dutch. But praise God for many a part of our denomination in communion. One with us in Christ who are now Korean and Vietnamese and Hispanic and African American and Native American and Chinese, and I could go on and on. That is wonderful, wonderful. In our Cutlerville community here, the Byron Center community, I wish that we could become a bit more of that heavenly blend, may I say, of God's people, of Christians, racially speaking, that is. And so, too, in our Christian schools, in our colleges. As regards the church, it's been said, and I suspect it's true, that the 9:30 or 10 o'clock hour is America's most segregated hour when Christians gather for worship. The most segregated hour. On the football field, in the factory, in the restaurant, there's probably far more integration, far more of a blend, may I say, than there is in the church. That's unfortunate, unfortunate. Let the new song being sung in heaven challenge each one of us to think more biblically and to act more Christianly. To those who may be so unlike us in many ways, and yet they are we are their brothers and sisters in Jesus. We are family, God's family together. And may I encourage all of us, myself included, to try to develop a closer relationship, perhaps a new friendship, with a person who's saved by the blood of Jesus, but a person from another culture, another race, perhaps, rooted in another nation. That is such a commendable, commendable thing to do. Before we go to the Holy Sacrament, notice thirdly the blessings that belong to those of the community that Jesus, by his blood, has saved. Those from every tribe and people and nation and tongue. You have made them. You have made them to be a kingdom, to be priests, to serve our God, and they will reign on earth. What blessings. Did you hear that? You've made them to be a part of a kingdom. We're part of a kingdom. We're royalty. Sons and daughters of the King. The King of the universe, whatever other kingdoms that people may belong to and be rather proud of belonging to, our kingdom is better. Our King is greater. The blessings are richer. Our future in that kingdom is far brighter than those who belong to whatever other kingdom, because we're a part of a kingdom in Christ. It's going to last forever. And the Bible says it's a kingdom of peace. It's a kingdom of joy. It's a kingdom of righteousness. That's one blessing. And then another, in the Old Testament, you know, only select persons were serving as priests. Only select people had access to God. Only select people could serve. But now, no longer true. We all have access. We all can serve. What a blessing that is. We are all now priests And it's added that we're going to reign on this earth. Oh, what hard feelings and brutal battles have been fought in history over land rights. Isn't that true? Who owns this? Who rightfully can say they have deed to this property? We understand. Ultimately, God owns the earth. He owns it all. But one day, the Bible says, he's going to remove from this earth that he owns all those who are not a part of his people. All of them and their master, the devil, will be cast, the Bible says, into utter darkness. And there they can fight and wage their wars for all eternity. But the redeemed of the Lord, they're the ones who are going to inherit the earth. They're going to reign here with Jesus, their King. That being so, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth, wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. On this World Communion Sunday, we praise and bless God for allowing us to be a part of that kingdom, that community. We praise God again for an all nations Savior. And we vow, I trust, to live in a renewed way, to love in a renewed way all those who are our brothers and sisters in Jesus, those who have our family name, those who with us are ones for whom Jesus died. Join me in prayer.